Hello.
How lovely to talk to you. I love the thought of becoming a digital boss and talking to a digital helpmate because my computer and I have a very antagonistic relationship. And I was thinking of calling in a shaman or maybe a priest to help me with it.
Well, maybe better yet would be a technological therapist, which is somewhat of what I am.
Oh, because we have issues. We definitely do, and we could use a mediator. Laura Moynihan is a fantastic resource for anybody who basically looks at their computer and wants to throw it out the window. Whether you're a beginner or you're advanced, if you have an iPhone or an iMac or an iPad, anything to do with fruit, basically, this is the woman that you need to get hold of.
Well, and actually, we have started tutoring on PC and Android as well. I have a number of tutors that work for me. I don't do the tech tutoring anymore. All of my tutors do it, and I run the business and am planning my own course launch to be a tech coach soon.
What a fantastic idea. And Laura also has a great free ebook, which is Top 10 Tips for Windows 10. Say that three times quickly. So if you jump onto her site, which is digitalhelpmates.com, you can easily get that. Laura is a state certified teacher as well. What are you state certified in?
I'm certified to teach high school English and drama.
Oh my. Drama, drama. My computer and I always have drama, so that is particularly useful. How did you go from English and drama to what is considered to be a not so creative field of helping coordinate tutors and teach people how to have a better relationship with tech?
I know, right? Well, I mean, I was always drawn to tech. Even when I was younger, I was deprived of it. I was in that generation where we didn't have a computer at home, and the first time I really got to touch one was in college. I was always drawn to it. My mom would bring hers home from her classroom. She was a teacher. I have a long line of teachers in my family, and I would just be on it the whole time. Long story short, I became a graphic designer, and then made a career switch to teaching. And then took what I call a 10-year maternity leave, having my two kids. And when I was coming back, I thought, what do I want to do? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to combine these two main skills that I have that people have been kind of begging me to help them with, which is, teaching people and using technology. And that's how it was born.
And being experienced in drama, that is directly linked to teaching too. So I can absolutely see how that linked in. And of course, English is also incredibly useful in learning how to explain technical terms and translate them. So
It
because
definitely
even
helps that I have all these varied skills so that I can do a lot of my own marketing. We do these Tech Support Tuesday live YouTube classes that we try to keep really entertaining. And I like to think that my drama background is helping me be on camera in this role as well.
Absolutely. I was a drama nerd at school, and it's come so handy when it comes to social media and presenting on Zoom. Speaking of drama, drama often comes with a lot of fantastic costumes when you're playing out different characters. Do you remember any costumes you particularly liked wearing, or any characters and what they wore that you really enjoyed? I know it's going back a while.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay, so in my high school, I grew up in Colorado, and every year our drama teacher would write his own melodrama, and we would perform it. And there would be an olio, which is like a musical review before. So there'd be olio and then melodrama. And the melodramas were usually based around, there, I don't know if you're familiar with the melodrama form, especially here in the States, but they're the Old West and, just, I don't know, kind of glorifying the Old West. So I loved wearing those costumes with the corsets and the high boots and, playing some miner's daughter that was swept away, the villain tried to get her and then the hero eventually wins out. I loved all that.
That sounds like a huge amount of fun. Now that you're a digital boss, has your wardrobe changed much from your corsets and your swooning?
Oh, goodness. I'm working out of my home office almost all the time now. And I really, when I'm picking up my clothes in the morning, and I do love clothes, and I have a closet that is kind of like me. It's very organized and color coordinated, and everything is, folded very, very nicely. But mostly I'm picking the most comfortable thing I can wear. And it reminds me of what Steve Jobs used to do, where he every day he would just wear a black turtleneck and jeans because he didn't have to think about it and he could focus on work and it was comfortable. And so my outfits tend to be kind of pretty much what I'm wearing today. I'm wearing stretch pants, I'm wearing like a stretchy kind of like skirt dress, and I'm wearing just like a really soft 3/4 length top, and all of it is stretchy and comfortable, and I don't have to think about what I'm wearing, and I can just focus on teaching people and technology.
And with what you do, you help people prioritize the rest of their life so they don't have to, basically you teach them so they don't have to spend their entire life on the phone to tech support and trying to work out their technology. So you also prevent decision fatigue, just like Steve Jobs' choice of a wardrobe prevents decision fatigue. So knowing how to use your tech saves you a lot of time and energy.
Exactly. Yep. Focus on what's important.
I understand that you can help complete beginners. My 100-year-old grandmother was trying to Zoom my mother the other day, and there was some hilarious hiccups along that, especially since she's deaf and has a very short attention span these days, because understandably. But you will help people that are having that. Yeah, there is a generation that is having to pivot technologically.
Yes, absolutely. I have clients in their 90s. I have clients who are literally blind and have, serious hearing issues. I have clients that have hardly touched a device, but now, they're realizing it's unavoidable, especially in the days of COVID. They have to order their medicine online. They have to get their, test results from their doctor online. They stay in touch with their church groups and their senior groups over email. And, they really are realizing it's unavoidable. And, luckily for us, the pandemic kind of pushed people a little bit out of their comfort zone towards accepting online help, like through Zoom and through screen sharing. Before that, we were offering in-person services, and so they were pretty resistant to go to Zoom, even though they were paying more for in-person services if there was travel involved. Now it's like, oh yeah, Zoom, I know that. I can do that. Save money, no problem. Great. So it really did help kind of move my business more towards a fully remote digital model. And I have tutors all over the country. We really are a completely remote workforce in a way. We have sort of this office that exists almost nowhere except on certain online platforms that we all agree to be on.
So how does it work? I'm having a difficult relationship with my tech. I go to digitalhelpmates.com. How am I paired with a tutor?
Yeah, so first we would have a consult, usually with me, but it might be with someone else in my office, and we really thoroughly interview you about, first of all, what types of devices that you own, how old they are, but then also what do you specifically use those devices for? Because I think the goal of becoming a digital boss is not to learn everything your device can do. It's to make it do the things that you want it to do that work for you, that enhance your real life. So that's really, really important. Do you use it for music? Do you use it for photographs? Do you use it for, word processing or just email? And what specific programs? And then I know my tutors really well, and I pair you with the tutor that has the right skills and knows the platforms that you work on. And, hopefully, if it's a good pairing, you stay with that tutor for the rest of your relationship with us. And then they become really valuable to you because they know your devices, they know your priorities, and they can fix your problems a lot faster.
It is that personalization that makes a difference, and it does save so much time when somebody knows your particular
Oh my
situation,
gosh. Yeah.
rather than having to start all over again with a complete stranger. And it's also a fabulous resource to have one person to go to instead of having to do multiple searches on a search engine, having to call multiple tech support people. Just to have one point of contact is sheer and utter bliss.
Yes, completely. And I think that's, kind of how we are different from some of the other, models out there of people that are offering tech support is I haven't really run across a single one that says, we're going to pair you with the tutor and that is going to be your person. And that is, you're right, it's so valuable. It's in a way, free help desk is almost like an indirect competitor of ours, because people will sit there and they'll go, I have this problem. I can get it solved for free. Should I do that, or should I call and pay for help? And I think over time they realize, oh my gosh, calling for free tech support is not worth my time. It's not worth my frustration having to re-explain myself all over again, not knowing the person and then them not knowing me. And instead, just having a tech tutor and being like, hey, I have this problem. And 9 times out of 10, they will know the solution, and tech support doesn't even have to be involved.
It also helps with your blood pressure. There's nothing that gets me angrier than tech rage. I'm generally a very chill person, but just, dealing with LastPass forgetting my password or trying to get into, I won't mention several, LastPass is great, by the way, but,
I love LastPass.
yes, speaking of which, remind me, I have a question to ask you about passwords, but I was on help chat with two different platforms trying to get them to talk to each other, and finally I reached out and I hired somebody, and the immediate pressure relief of having somebody else to be able to negotiate, bridge that, understand the jargon, understand the verbiage, and simplify it for me, which freed up my time to be with a client.
Completely. In fact, I even tell my clients sometimes, if I don't know the answer, I will call tech support for you. Even if you're sitting right next to me, it is worth it for me to be the interpreter because I understand the language. I can get to where we need to get to faster than you can. And sometimes I just say, hey, you know what? Why don't you don't even have to be in the room. You go in the other room. I'm going to have this conversation with tech support. When I need you, I'll call you over. And that just I can just see the relief on a lot of my clients' faces. Oh my God, thank God I don't have to do this.
I have been there. I've delegated it to somebody else. I've gone and done yoga, and my hour was much better spent doing that. There's opportunity cost. If you're on a free helpline, if you're trying to sort out your own tech issues, it's time away from loved ones. You're not prioritizing what's really important to you. You're dabbling in something that you don't really have the skills to deal with. And there are so many ways to get shortcuts and to learn faster, and you save so much time and money. And the opportunity cost of you could be earning so much more money by focusing on your business, whereas your rates start at $70 an hour,
That's right. Yep.
versus what you may charge to your actual clients. You are losing money if you try and fix this yourself.
Oh, you could spend days on one simple problem that we could solve in 10 minutes. Yeah,
Be
really.
fair.
I mean, all of us. I've been there even. I'm not saying I'm immune to it either. I mean, in some ways, I am really lucky that I have this team of tech experts that when I run into something, I just, kind of crowdsource. I'm like, hey, you guys, I'm having this problem. Do you know the answer? And they always do. I always get into solution and just move on. It's very, once you get used to having this kind of service, it really is very addictive, and it's almost like you just can't do without it anymore. That's what our
Absolutely.
client, a lot of our clients say.
It's like having somebody else do the laundry for you or ordering you groceries online. You just never go back.
No.
Hey, I'm going to circle back to passwords. You have a tip which says tell a story. What do you mean by that?
Oh, right. So I've done a lot of research on passwords because I've presented a lot on password management and why you need to use a password manager like LastPass. So the number one factor in making a password secure, there's been all sorts of research done on this. And it's like, do you use numbers? Do you use letters? Do you use a combination? Do you use a symbol? What do? Like, what's the most important thing? The number one most important thing is length. That is it. The longer the password, the more secure it is. Doesn't even have to be mixed up characters. It can be all just lowercase, alphabet characters. So, but you also want to make it memorable, right? Because if you come up with this 50 character thing that's not memorable, it's like it's not worth the paper it's written on, which you shouldn't be writing down your passwords anyway, right? So, a great way to achieve both is to tell a story. Think about, what am I doing right now? What's going on in my life? What do I do on a day-to-day basis? What's a story that I can tell that I will remember in 4 or 5 words? What's a saying that my dad or mom used to say when I was little? It could be any one of those things. So what did I do today? Today I went and I just had lunch. I had ramen. So I could say, Laura loves juicy ramen. Like, that's it. That could be an amazingly secure password. I can't count up the characters in my head, but I would assume it's probably 20 some characters. anything over 14 is basically unhackable. It would take centuries for a brute force script to hack something that was more than 14 characters long.
I feel like I should just pay you $70. Seriously, the amount of, I was trying to get into a Zoom meeting this morning on my phone, and I'd used a computer-generated password which had multiple letters and numbers and digits. And if you have any issues with ADHD or dyslexia, or your dog's pulling at your lead and you can't type very easily, it is practically impossible to type in the right sequence.
Oh my gosh. I hate those passwords. The generated ones that are like 20 to 50 characters long and they're a mixture of everything. I hate those. I hate them so much. I refuse. So it's also sometimes hard to come up with a new sentence every time, because another thing about passwords is you really do need to have a unique one for each site. So how are you going to come up with 400 unique sentences, right? So I do use like the sentence formula for my master password for LastPass. But when I'm making up passwords for the day-to-day sites that I have to make them up for, I have what I call a password recipe, which means you're generating this secure password that's also easy to put in by hand. And I start with the LastPass generator, and I have it generate a gibberish word, something that's not in the dictionary, but you can say it, like Google bark or something like that. You know? And it'll generate this for you. You start off with all lowercase. Let's say it's Google bark. You put a capital at the beginning. You put 2 to 4 numbers at the end. And if you really want it to be secure, put like a punctuation mark. Done. You have just created the most secure password. It will satisfy every password requirement of every website out there. And while it may not be super memorable, at least you can look it up in LastPass and go, okay, my password is googlebark567!. I can put that in by hand. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. LastPass is a password manager. Do go look it up on a search engine. It's absolutely brilliant. I'm not an early adopter, but it has saved my bacon on numerous occasions. I didn't know they had a password generator. Thank you for that incredible tip. Mm-hmm. And you're right. If you remember the one master password, which I actually do have it written down on a piece of paper, but I took a photo of it and I put it in my notes in my iPhone and also emailed it to my husband. So that's my backup plan. It's either that or get it tattooed somewhere on my body. Well, I have several tattoos. What's one more? But I love the idea of Oogle Bark or some kind of Jabberwocky generated poem. That's a brilliant idea.
Because that also foils another kind of hack. So there's a bunch of different ways that your passwords are hacked. One of them is the brute force one, where it just tries thousands of tries per second. Another one is the dictionary attack. They take the dictionary for that language of the country that you live in, so it'd be English for us, and they have a script circulate through all the words in the English dictionary. So if it's not in the English dictionary, you're okay. It could even be in French. It could be in Spanish. If you speak a different language, that's a great way to foil the dictionary attack. So I'm a big believer in, you know, educate yourself as to how these people get your information so you know how to foil them.
If you're listening to this password, contact Digital Helpmates and send them a check.
Well, you know, we are actually affiliates for LastPass. So if you are interested in LastPass, what you could do is go on our website, click on a link called Links, and there you'll see LastPass nice and big. If you click on it, it'll lead you straight to LastPass. You can install it. You don't have to pay for it. You can still use the free version. But the difference is, if you use our affiliate link, that if you ever decide to upgrade to the paid version, we will get a little kickback for that.
You deserve it. I'm tempted to sign away from LastPass and restart just to say thank you.
Well, I only get affiliates of products that I really, really support. So currently we only have 2 affiliates. That's it. So I truly believe in LastPass.
I'm exactly the same. I can vouch for LastPass as well. The one which I'm not actually an affiliate, but Cladwell app, I'm just going to put a shout out for them. They're a brilliant way of basically photographing your wardrobe, and they will circulate your wardrobe and outfit combinations for you. So you don't have to think about what to wear every day, and they'll accommodate the weather as well.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. You do have to do a little bit of onboarding. You have to pick clothing from their selections that resemble what you have, or you have to upload your own photos. But once you've loaded your digital wardrobe, it will tell you how to get dressed every day.
Interesting, huh? I do have to say, I am getting a little bored of my wardrobe lately, and I'm thinking I need to freshen it up a bit somehow.
Well, talk to me about that, obviously. But if you really like variety, it depends what your attitude is towards thrifting. I have a thrifting spending plan where I'll spend X amount per month at a thrift store, and I'll rotate the items and then donate them back. So that's how I keep variety floating through. And also, I use clothing rental as a way to keep up with variety.
Oh.
Otherwise, just talk to me, and we will make a shopping list. And we will
Yes.
work out what you need, and we
Yes.
will individualize it, and you'll have a one-stop shop.
That sounds
If
fantastic.
you can be a digital boss, I can be a style boss.
Well,
In
I
fact,
do love being stylish, yes.
I'm gonna nick that expression, style boss. I think if you see it all over my website, feel free to like sue me for breach of copyright or something.
Oh no. You go ahead and bark. I love being inspired by one another. I support that.
Absolutely. Here's to that. Here's to all women inspiring each other. One of the things you say on your very cute little video that you have on your website, which has very funky music, by the way, it says that true learning takes time, effort, and repetition. And that's exactly the same with clothes. Because if you learn, persist, and succeed, if you learn and persist, excuse me, you will succeed. And things like knowing how to navigate tech, knowing how to navigate your wardrobe, you're not born with it. It's not you.
No. And in fact, I do remember being that person that was very frustrated with my phone. And we've all been there. We aren't born with this tech knowledge. It's just about having the interest in getting better and trying to do a little bit better each day and learn something that is relevant to you in your life. Relevance is everything, you know. You're not going to learn something that has no application in your life, you know.
Relevance, yes, because Zoom changes quite rapidly. It's always introducing new bits and pieces, but they're not always relevant to you. So being able to check with somebody and find out, do you actually need to learn that or not? Wasn't it Einstein who said he never bothered learning his own phone number because it wasn't relevant, because he never called himself?
He must not have been very interested in other people calling him either then.
No, there is a flaw to that plan. There is a slight flaw. Maybe, yeah, not quite sure how that one worked, actually. Anyway, circling back to relevance, one of the things I've struggled with is when I need to replace my phone or my computer, and you will actually help people identify what hardware they need.
Yeah, we get asked a lot to help them choose new products. They know that they need a new laptop, they know that they need a new phone. They don't want to get something that's totally overblown, and yet they don't want to get something that's only going to last them a couple years and then be outdated or the hard drive is full. So definitely there's a lot of choices out there. It can be very confusing. And we love helping people choose exactly the right thing for them. And we have no skin in the game. So we're not going to talk them into something that's more expensive because we're not going to make money off of that purchase, you know? So we really truly can be unbiased. Another thing that we do, and this, I love doing this for clients, we will actually help you look at something like your cell phone bill or your cable bill, and we will help you figure out if you actually need to be paying that amount of money and can help whittle it down for you. Because, sometimes these things are like, you can't figure out, well, what is this gigs of data and what does that mean? And am I actually using it or not? And by the time you try to figure it out, you're completely exhausted and just want to throw the whole thing in the garbage, right? So, yeah, we will actually go into like a store with you if we live nearby, into the Verizon store. I've done this and looked at your bill and been like, nope, you don't need that. Nope, you don't need that, and actually save you money. So
So
it feels really
basically,
good.
not only does it feel fantastic for you because you're being such an advocate and you're empowering people, but it also pays for your services.
Yep. The more, if we can save you money, we realize that makes us even more valuable. So we love doing that.
Hey, you'll also help me with computer repairs, right? Just for when I do throw my computer out the window.
Well, so that one depends. Certain tutors do have the skills to repair a computer. That is not something that I do. When I was tutoring, when I would get a computer, I could at least tell when it needed a hardware repair versus just software. And we do have certain stores that we know and trust and will recommend. We'll even bring it down there for you if you don't have the time, get you a quote, just use our time that you have purchased with us to do that. and get it fixed. So if we can't fix it ourselves, we will help you get it fixed with a trusted repair shop.
Oh, that's fantastic. And that again saves so much time rather than driving to and from, trying to find a computer repair place, trying to get there,
right.
trying to
figure out which one is
there.
Good, you know, like there's a lot of them around town and you don't know which ones are good and which ones are gonna.
And not only that, but trying to explain to the person behind the counter what the problem is in language they understand, and understanding what they're saying back to you, which might as well be in Swahili, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep,
exactly. You also do research and training for businesses. Could you tell me a bit about that?
Yes, that is another one of the things that I love to do. So our clients, you know, it doesn't really matter what business they do. There usually is some sort of tech solution that will help them do it better or more efficiently. So one example is I worked with a general contractor who still works with us. He was saying, I'm spending 8 hours doing my bids, you know, one bid. And I said, well, that is clearly not acceptable, you know. And so I went out there and did some research and found out there is there are a number of apps that help you do estimating that you can even have on an iPad on the job site. You can feed in the square footage of the materials you're using, and it will use cost books to pull up estimates for you. And he's been using it ever since. I found the program for him. I watched the tutorials myself, and then I trained him. And it saves him tons of time doing bids. So things like that. There are specific apps that, you know, lawyers use, that contractors use, that insurance people use. And all we need to know is, you know, what is it in your business that you are spending too much time on? What do you need help with efficiency-wise? And we can do the research for you and figure it out.
Because 8 hours is an entire workday. It's so unproductive to be spending it creating a bid. I'm going to segue to something completely different. The kits at Community Co-op, Food Co-op. Am I right that that was a business venture of yours?
Yes. Boy, you did your research on me, didn't you?
Well, you're a delightful person to research. But tell me more about the kits at Community Food Co-op.
Yes, yes. So when I first moved here to Bremerton about 14 years ago, I had just left behind my teaching career. I wasn't licensed to teach here in Washington, and I wasn't sure that I wanted to do that. And I wanted to do something. And so I threw myself into, I was really into food, cooking and organic food and, homegrown food. And so I gathered together people and I said, hey, let's get a food co-op started. And that was my second business venture ever. My first one was when I was a freelance designer in San Francisco in the early 2000s. So this would have been around 2008 that I started the food co-op. And just got it running from the ground up. I was president of the board for 4 years. Helped us get incorporated, helped us get, you know, all of that fundamental stuff going. It took the co-op 11 years, but finally they have a storefront. I think a couple of years ago, they opened a storefront here in downtown Bremerton. So that feels really good to finally see that come to fruition after a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and some great, great people and friends that I met along the way.
Congratulations. That is a wonderful achievement.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, with a co-op, it's not like the business that you get to keep and profit off of. You know, it really gets, you know, it's owned by all the member owners. So it's something you do because you want to see something better in the community. And, you know, people take turns at the helm. And some of my relatives didn't understand that. They're like, oh my gosh, you're spending all this time on this venture. Why aren't you profiting off of it? And I'm like, because we all benefit when it becomes reality, you know? So
there's definitely an element of service that goes through everything you do. There definitely is a desire to add value.
And Thank you.
Pretty apparent. And things like this, there's so many wonderful ripple effects. The women you met, the people you met, the brand equity you grew, if you'll excuse that expression, because, you know, that those people became part of your network. And when you do start other business ventures, they already know, like, and trust you.
That's true. Actually, some of those initial people that I met through the co-op are my clients today. So that is absolutely true.
See? And on a complete different segue, before we finish up, don't forget to go to digitalhelpmates.com. You now understand why, and you've already saved money just by listening to this podcast. But Halloween's coming up. What's this about you recommending horror marathons? Why on earth would anyone want to watch horror movies? Why, people? Why? They're terrifying. Go watch Pride and Prejudice. The closest I get to Halloween would be Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So what horror movies do you recommend, and why on earth do you want to scare yourself silly watching them?
All right, so it's been a couple of years since I've done my Halloween horror movie marathon, which lasts about a month, and me watching horror movies on Netflix and the streaming services. But I have to say, my favorite horror movies are not like the bloody, gory Friday the 13th ones. My favorite ones are ones that kind of mess with your mind, and they're like psychological horror films. They have a twist at the end. If there is any violence, it happens off screen, and you're just coming into this, you kind of get spooked by coming into the scene, but the violence doesn't happen on screen. I like thinkers, things that just really. Jacob's Ladder was one that I liked. I don't know, but I posted that on my Facebook a couple years ago. I kind of just decided, you know what? I'm not just going to watch them this year. I'm actually going to post my own reviews so other people can enjoy these too if they like watching horror films. That being said, there have been one or two that I have watched that I have regretted watching, and so now, because they're stuck in my head forever, and now I'm a little bit more careful. Like, nope, even if I'm tempted, even if I want to challenge myself, can I make it through, that horrible, horrible, bloody thing? I'm not doing that. Nope.
Yeah, clean out your hard drive. There are things that we don't want to store forever. There are things we need to declutter, and things we should upload. See how I just did that there? But I heard Jacob's Ladder. What's another couple you recommend?
So these Korean horror films are really scary and good. Like, and maybe this one was Japanese. Was it called The Ring?
Yeah,
I
I
think
think that
many
was
years ago.
Japanese.
Yeah, okay. The Ring, and then like Train to Busan was one that I mentioned in there. Yeah, ones that are just, you can't quite figure out what's going on, and it slowly but surely unwinds itself until at the end you figure it out. I think it just tickles that part of my brain of, I always have to be thinking and figuring out a puzzle and being a detective. I mean, maybe that kind of in a way ties back to my work, that a lot of times what I'm doing, I feel like I'm being a detective. And so I guess I like films that are like that too.
A detective and a digital boss. Thank you so much, Laura. I really appreciated you making time for this today because your time could have been spent helping somebody sort out their tech, but instead you were kind enough to spend it with me. Thank you so much for your time today, and have a
Oh,
lovely rest of your day.
thank you, Erin. It was delightful. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast.
Oh, I like being called delightful. Bye.
Bye-bye.